بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. مقصود طلب ہے، وصول مقصود نہیں. اہل طریقے یہاں یہ مقرر ہے کہ طلب مقصود ہے، وصول مقصود نہیں. شرع اس کی یہ ہے کہ مقصود کے حصول کا قلب میں تقاضا نہ رکھے، کہ یہ بھی حجاب ہے، کیونکہ اس تقاضے سے تشویش ہوتی ہے، اور تشویش برہم زن جمعیت و تفویض ہے، اور جمعیت و تفویض ہی شرط وصول ہے. اس کو خوب راسخ کر لیا جائے کہ روح سلوک ہے. وہو من خصائص المواہب الامدادیہ قلما تنبہ له شیخ من مشائخ الوقت. مجاہدہ کی حقیقت یہ ہے کہ معاصی کو تو مطلقاً ترک کرے، اور یہ نفس کی مخالفت واجب ہے، اور مباحات میں تقریراً مخالفت کرے، اور یہ مخالفت مستحب ہے. مگر ایسا مستحب ہے کہ مخالفت واجبہ کا حصول کامل اس مخالفت مستحبہ پر موقوف ہے. جیسے بہت سونا، بہت کھانا، بہت عمدہ کپڑے پہننا، بہت باتیں کرنا، لوگوں سے زیادہ ملنا ملانا، سو ان میں تقلیل کرے. ارشاد، مجاہدہ اختیاریہ میں تو فعل کا غلبہ ہے، اس لیے اس میں انوار زیادہ ہوتے ہیں، کیونکہ انوار کا ترتب عمل پر ہوتا ہے. اور مجاہدہ اضطراریہ میں فعل کم ہوتا ہے، اس میں نورانیت کم ہوتی ہے، لیکن انفعال کا غلبہ ہوتا ہے، اس سے قابلیت میں قوت بڑھتی ہے. اور اس انفعال و قابلیت کی خود اعمال اختیاریہ کے راسخ ہونے کے لیے سخت ضرورت ہے. اسی لیے بزرگوں نے ایسے مجاہدات بہت زیادہ کرائے ہیں. مجاہدہ اضطراریہ کا نفع، تہذیب مجاہدہ اضطراریہ سے عمل میں قلت بھی ہو جائے، اور محض فرائض و واجبات ہی پر اکتفا ہوتا رہے، تب بھی مجاہدہ کاملہ کا ثواب ملتا ہے. مجاہدہ کی دو قسمیں. ارشاد، مجاہدہ کی دو قسمیں ہیں، مجاہدہ حقیقیہ یعنی ارتکاب اعمال و اجتناب عن المعاصی، مجاہدہ حکمیہ یعنی ان مباحات کو ترک کرنا جو معاصی کی طرف مفضی ہے. طریق الوصول الى اللہ بعدد انفاس الخلائق. ارشاد، طرق الوصول الى اللہ بعدد انفاس الخلائق، جس طرح وصول کی ایک صورت یہ ہے کہ حرم میں نماز پڑھو، یہ بھی ایک صورت ہے کہ کسی عذر سے گھر میں نماز پڑھو اور حرم کو ترستے رہو. عطر تصوف. ارشاد، اختیاری امور میں کوتاہی کا علاج بجز ہمت اور استعمال اختیار کے کچھ نہیں. اسی پر مدار ہے تمام اصلاحات کا، اور یہی ہے اصل علاج تمام کوتاہیوں کا. سارے افعال شرعیہ اختیاری ہے، ورنہ نصوص کی تکذیب لازم آتی ہے. بس اختیار کا استعمال کرے گا تو کامیابی لازم ہے. البتہ دشواری اور کلفت اول ضرور ہوگی، لیکن اس کا علاج بھی یہی ہے کہ باوجود کلفت کے ہمت سے اور اختیار سے برابر بتکلف اور بجوز کام لیتا رہے. رفتہ رفتہ وہ کلفت مبدل بسہولت ہو جائے گی. سارے مجاہدے بس اسی لیے کیے جاتے ہیں کہ اختیار اوامر اور اجتناب نواہی میں سہولت پیدا ہو جائے. اور اول تو ہر کام مشکل ہوتا ہے، مگر کرتے کرتے مشق ہو جاتی ہے، اور پھر نہایت سہولت کے ساتھ ہونے لگتا ہے. جیسے حفظ کا سبق شروع میں دشوار ہوتا ہے، مگر رٹنے رٹنے یاد ہو جاتا ہے. اگر شروع کی کلفت اور تاب کو دیکھ کر ہمت ہار دی تو پھر کوئی صورت ہی کامیابی کی نہیں. مسئلہ اختیار کا اس قدر ظاہر ہے، ہر شخص اپنے اندر صفت اختیار کو وجداناً اور طبعاً محسوس کرتا ہے. چنانچہ جب وہ کوئی ناشائستہ حرکت کرتا ہے تو خجلت ہوتی ہے. اگر وہ اپنے کو مجبور سمجھتا تو خجلت کیوں ہوتی؟ انسان تو انسان، جانوروں تک کو اس کا اختیار کا ادراک ہوتا ہے. دیکھیے، اگر کسی کتے کو لکڑی ماری جائے تو مارنے والے پر حملہ کرتا ہے، نہ لکڑی پر. اس کو یہ بھی امتیاز ہوتا ہے کہ کون مختار ہے اور کون مجبور. حضرت مولانا رومی نے نہایت سادہ اور سہل عنوان سے اس مسئلے جبر و اختیار کو بیان فرمایا ہے. زاری معشد دلیل استرار، حضرت معشد دلیل اختیار. غرض نہ خالص جبر ہے نہ خالص اختیار ہے. اختیار خالص نہ ہونے کے معنی یہ ہے کہ وہ ماتحت ہے، اختیار حق کے مستقل اختیار نہیں ہے. غرض کے سالک جب تک صفت اختیار کو استعمال نہ کرے گا اسلام ممکن نہ ہوگی. مثلا کسی میں بخل ہے تو نیرے ذکر و شغل یا شیخ کی دعا و توجہ و برکت سے یہ رذیلہ ہرگز زائل نہ ہوگا، بلکہ نفس کی مقاومت ہی سے زائل ہوگا. گو ذکر و شغل وغیرہ معین ضرور ہو جائیں گے، مگر کافی ہرگز نہیں ہو سکتے. اس طریقے میں تو کام ہی سے کام چلتا ہے، نری تمناؤں یا نری دعاؤں سے کچھ نہیں ہوتا. تصرف اور ہمت و اعمال کے اثر کا فرق. اگرچہ خیال ہو کہ بعض بزرگ کی توجہ سے بڑے بڑے بدکاروں کی خود بخود اصلاح ہو گئی ہے، تو یہ ایک قسم کا تصرف ہے، اور ایسا تصرف نہ اختیاری ہے نہ بزرگی کے لیے لازم ہے. بہت سے بزرگوں میں تصرف مطلق نہیں ہوتا، بھی اس تصرف کے اثر کو بقا نہیں ہوتا. اس کی مثال ایسی ہے کہ کوئی شخص تنور کے پاس بیٹھ گیا تو جب تک وہاں بیٹھا ہوا ہے تمام بدن گرم ہے, مگر جیسے ہی وہاں سے ہٹا پھر ٹھنڈا کا ٹھنڈا. بخلاف اس کے جو ہمت اور اعمال کے ذریعے سے اثر ہوتا ہے وہ باقی رہتا ہے. اور اس کی مثال ایسی ہے جیسے کسی نے کشتہ تلا کھلا کر اپنے اندر حرارت غریزی پیدا کرنی ہو تو اگر وہ شملہ پہاڑ بھی چلا جائے گا تب بھی وہ حرارت بدستور باقی رہے گی. صفات رذیلہ کا مادہ تو جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. اگر یہ شبہ ہو کہ جبلت تو کسی کی بدل نہیں ہو سکتی, پھر جبلی صفات رذیلہ کی اصلاح کیوں کر ہو سکتی ہے؟ تو خوب سمجھ لو کہ مادہ جبلی ہوتا ہے مگر فعل اختیار میں ہے. بس مادہ بے شک زائل نہیں ہوتا مگر اس کی مقتضا پر عمل کرنا نہ کرنا اختیار میں ہے, اور اسی کا انسان مکلف ہے. اور بار بار اس مقتضا کی مخالفت کرنے سے وہ مادہ بھی ضعیف ہو جاتا ہے. شیخ کی دعا و برکت کا درجہ اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا. شیخ کی دعا و برکت کو بھی برا دخل ہے اصلاح میں, لیکن اس کا درجہ محض اعانت کا ہے نہ کہ کفایت کا. جیسے عرق صنف کا مرتبہ مسحل بھی کہ محض عرق صنف بلا مسحل کے کارآمد نہیں. یا طبیب اور مریض کی مثال لے لو, اگر مریض دوا نہ پیے تو محض طبیب کی شفقت و توجہ سے مریض ہرگز اچھا نہ ہوگا. یا استاد و شاگرد کی مثال لو کہ محض استاد کی توجہ سے سبق یاد نہیں ہوتا بلکہ شاگرد کے یاد کرنے سے ہی یاد ہوگا. شیخ کا اصل کام تو صرف راستہ بتانا ہے, باقی راستہ کا خطا کرنا تو سالک ہی کا کام ہے. جیسے کہ اندھے کو راہ بتاتا ہے, گود میں اٹھا کر اس کو نہیں لے جاتا, راستہ تو خود اس کے چلنے ہی سے قطع ہوگا. استحضار ہمت کا نسخہ اصلاح کے لیے اکثیر ہے. اخلاص و ہمت خلاصہ تصوف ہے. ان دونوں میں بھی اصل چیز ہمت ہے, کیونکہ اخلاص پیدا کرنے کے لیے بھی ہمت کی ضرورت ہوگی, اور ہمت کا معین استحضار ہے. اور استحضار کی صورتیں مختلف ہیں. جو صورت شیخ تجویز کر دے اس پر عمل کرے. مثلا ہر کوتاہی پر 10 رکعت یا کم و بیش نفل بطور جرمانہ ادا کرنا, تاکہ جب دوسرا موقع کوتاہی کا پیش آئے تو جرمانہ کے خوف سے استحضار کی کیفیت پیدا ہو جائے, اور جب استحضار ہو جائے فوراً ہمت سے کام لے اور تقاضۂ نفس کو مغلوب کرے. اگر استحضار اور ہمت سے کام لے گا تو انشاءاللہ کوتاہیوں سے محفوظ رہے گا, اور رفتہ رفتہ اصلاح ہو جائے گی. اور ہر روز مطالعہ نزہت البساتین سے بھی قوت استحضار و ہمت کو پہنچتی ہے. حال کی دو قسمیں ہیں. تصوف میں رسوخ اعمال اختیاریہ مطلوب ہے, نیز مأمور بھی محبت عقلی ہے نہ کہ طبعی. کہ حال کے دو معنی ہیں, ایک تو کیفیت غیر اختیاریہ, دوسرے رسوخ اعمال اختیاریہ. دوسرا معنی میں حال کا ترتب لازم ہے کیونکہ وہ موعود ہے. ففی الحدیث کذلک الایمان اذا خالطه بشاشة القلوب, وفی کلام اللہ فمن یرید اللہ ان یهدیہ یشرح صدرہ للاسلام. اور تصوف میں یہی حال مطلوب ہے. جب کوئی شخص اعمال صالح و تکلف اختیار کرتا ہے, رفتہ رفتہ ان اعمال میں سہولت ہونے لگتی ہے اور کیفیت راسخہ پیدا ہو جاتی ہے, اور وہ یہ کیفیت صالحہ مثلا محبت حق تعالی کے ساتھ پیدا کرنا واجب ہے, کیونکہ نصوص میں اس کی تحصیل کا اثر ہے. بخلاف شوق و ذوق کے اس کی تحصیل کا کہیں بھی امر نہیں. جس محبت کی تحصیل مأمور بھی ہے وہ عقلی ہے, اور محبت عقلی اختیاری ہے, بخلاف محبت طبعی کے کہ وہ غیر اختیاری ہے, اس لیے مأمور بھی نہیں ہے. طریقہ حصول یقین, اول بتکلف عمل کرنا چاہیے, اس کی برکت سے یقین پیدا ہو جاتا ہے, اور کوئی طریقہ حصول یقین کا نہیں ہے. عقل و ایمان بڑی دولت ہے. کسی حال کا طاری ہونا اور چندے جاری رہنا یہ بھی بڑی دولت ہے. ہمیشہ رہنے کی چیز تو صرف عقل و ایمان ہے, باقی سب میں آمد و رفت رہتی ہے. اصول نسبت کی ترتیب و حقیقت. اصول نسبت کی ترتیب اور حقیقت یہ ہے کہ اول بتکلف اعمال ظاہرہ و باطنہ کی اصلاح کرے, بالخصوص اعمال باطنہ کی اصلاح زیادہ اہم اور دشوار ہے. جب اعمال صالحہ ظاہرہ و باطنہ پر ایک معتد بھی مدت تک مواظبت رہتی ہے تو تو رفتہ رفتہ ان اعمال میں سہولت پیدا ہونے لگتی ہے اور ایک کیفیت راسخہ پیدا ہو جاتی ہے. اس سہولت کے لیے عام مراقبات، ریاضت، مجاہدات، اذکار و اشغال مقرر کیے گئے ہیں. باقی اصل چیز اصلاح اعمال ظاہرہ و باطنہ ہی ہے، جس پر نسبت حقیقی مرتب ہوتی ہے. جب بندہ اعمال صالحہ ظاہرہ و باطنہ پر مداومت کرتا ہے تو حق تعالیٰ کو صرف اس کے ساتھ رضا دائمی کا تعلق پیدا ہو جاتا ہے، اور یہی حقیقت ہے نسبت مع اللہ کی. اور صرف ذکر دائم یا دوام حضور یا بلکہ یا داشت جس کو کہتے ہیں، وہ نسبت کی حقیقت نہیں ہے. البتہ حصول نسبت میں معین ہے، کیونکہ جس کو ہر وقت حق تعالیٰ کا دھیان رہتا ہے، اس سے اللہ تعالیٰ کی نافرمانی ہونا مستبعد ہے. یہ تو نسبت کی حقیقت ہے. حق تعالیٰ کو بندے کے ساتھ ایک خاص تعلق رضا کا ہو جاتا ہے، جس کا خاصا ایک خاص انجذاب ہے، جس کے لوازم میں سہولت اطاعت اور حضور دائم ہے. اور یہ محض موہوب ہے، کیونکہ کسی عمل صالح میں یہ قابلیت نہیں ہے کہ وہ رضا الہی کے حصول کے لیے کافی ہوگا. وہ عادت اللہ یہ ہے کہ محض اپنے فضل سے اپنی رضا کو اعمال صالحہ پر مرتب فرما دیتے ہیں. جیسے کہ حدیث شریف میں وارد ہے کہ کوئی شخص اپنے اعمال کی وجہ سے جنت میں نہ جائے گا، بلکہ محض اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے جائے گا. اور یہ نسبت مع اللہ عادتاً پھر کبھی زائل نہیں ہوتی، جیسے بلوغ ہونے کے بعد صفت بلوغ کبھی زائل نہیں ہوتی. اس مسئلے کو صوفیہ نے بعنوان فنا تعبیر کر کے فرمایا ہے کہ الفانی لا یرد، یعنی فانی و واصل کبھی مردود نہیں ہوتا. اگر یہ شبہ ہو کہ بعد وصول حصول نسبت کے بھی تو معاصی کا صدور ہو سکتا ہے، بلکہ ہوتا ہے، پھر رضا دائمی کا تحقق کہاں رہا؟ تو سمجھے کہ گہری دوستی کے بعد یہ ضروری نہیں کہ کبھی باہم شکرنجی بھی نہ ہوگا. گاہے گاہے شکرنجی بھی ہو جاتی ہے، لیکن تدارک کے بعد پھر ویسا ہی تعلق ہو جاتا ہے. بلکہ دراصل اس خفگی کے زمانے میں بھی دوستی کا تعلق بدستور قائم رہتا ہے، وہ زائل نہیں ہوتا. شکرنجی محض عارضی ہوتی ہے. مثلا تکمیل صحت کے لیے ضروری نہیں کہ اس حالت میں کبھی زکام بھی نہ ہو، یا کبھی اگر بد پرہیزی کر لے، مثلا گھر کھا لے، تو اس سے نقصان نہ ہو. بد پرہیزی سے نقصان ضرور ہوگا، لیکن محض عارضی تدارک کے بعد پھر وہی حالت غالبہ صحت کے عود کر آئے گی. یا مثلا درسیات کے فراغ کے بعد یہ ضروری نہیں کہ کبھی کسی مقام پر اٹکے نہیں. کہیں کہیں بعد فراغ بھی اٹکتا ہے، لیکن ذرا توجہ سے پھر چل نکلتا ہے. نسبت کے تحقق کے لیے رضا تام شرط ہے. نسبت متحقق ہوتی ہے کامل رضا حق پر، نہ کہ مطلق رضا حق پر. کیونکہ رضا تو ہر فعل حسن پر مرتب ہوتی ہے. اگر کوئی شخص زنا کرے، اس کے بعد نماز بھی پڑھے، تو گو زنا پر ناراضی مرتب ہوگی، لیکن رضا بھی مرتب ہوگی. افعال قبیحہ و حسنہ پر اپنی اپنی جگہ برابر ناراضی اور رضا مرتب ہوگی، لیکن نسبت کے تحقق کے لیے رضا تام شرط ہے. رضا نا تمام کی بالکل ایسی مثال ہے جیسے مرض کی حالت میں عارضی افاقہ ہو جائے، گو وہ بھی بسا غنیمت ہے. اتباع سنت کو خاص دخل ہے انجذاب میں. ہمارے حضرت حاجی صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے سلسلہ میں بہت ہی جلد نفع شروع ہو جاتا ہے. اس کی وجہ یہ ہے کہ اس سلسلے میں بطریق جذب نفع پہنچتا ہے، نہ بطریق سلوک. اور اس جذب کی وجہ یہ ہے کہ اس سلسلے میں اتباع سنت کا بڑا اہتمام ہے. جب حق تعالیٰ کے محبوب کا اتباع کیا جاتا ہے، تو محبوب کا اتباع کرنے والا بھی محبوب ہو جاتا ہے. اور جب محبوب ہو جاتا ہے، تو محبوب کا خاصا ہے انجذاب حق تعالیٰ، فوراً اس کو اپنی طرف منجذب فرما لیتے ہیں. چنانچہ حق تعالیٰ کا ارشاد ہے، قل ان کنتم تحبون اللہ فاتبعونی یحببکم اللہ. امور اختیاریہ کے اختیاری ہونے کا مبنا، ارشاد امور اختیاریہ کے اختیاری ہونے کا مبنا یہ ہے کہ اس کا سبب انسان کے اختیار میں ہے. باقی یہ ہے کہ مسبب راہ راست اختیار میں ہو، سو یہ کسی امر میں بھی نہیں. بس جنت و مغفرت اختیاری ہے، کیونکہ اس کے اسباب اختیاری ہیں. نسبت کی حقیقت، ارشاد نسبت کے لغوی معنی ہے لگاؤ اور تعلق، اور اصطلاحی معنی ہے بندے کا حق تعالیٰ سے خاص قسم کا تعلق، یعنی قبول اور رضا، جیسا عاشق مطیع وفادار معشوق میں ہوتا ہے. صاحب نسبت ہونے کی علامت، ارشاد صاحب نسبت ہونے کی علامت یہ ہے کہ اس شخص کی صحبت میں رغبت ان الآخرت اور نفرت عن الدنیا کا اثر ہو، اور اس کی طرف دینداروں کو زیادہ توجہ اور دنیا داروں کو کم، مگر یہ پہچان خصوص اور اس کا جزء اول عوام محجوبین کو کم ہوتی ہے، اہل طریقہ کو زیادہ ہوتی ہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. I read about 25 usools. These are like the keys. Simple words. These are the keys. It's like the essence. And each one has to be expounded. So the first one that you start off with, I remember the first one and perhaps the last one. In between, I remember a couple of here and there. It says, the maqsood, the words, the goal, what is the goal? The goal is talab. Talab means to try, to work, to make an effort, that's the maqsood. Now, how you understand this? See, in the madrasa, as a student starts off a kitab, the ustad will tell him, what is the purpose of studying this kitab? So, for example, it is Kuduri, right? The ustad is teaching you this kitab. So, what's the purpose of teaching you this kitab in particular? To learn the laws of deen. That this will amount to the breaking of the wuzu, its own law, and this will be the sunnat of wuzu. This will be the faraz of wuzu, and this will nullify the wuzu. So now, that's the whole essence of fiqh. So they tell you in the beginning that this is a fiqh kitab, and this is the verse, and this is the ghayat. This is why we're teaching you. But now, in this fiqh kitab, if you're looking for laws and grammar, will be right. Or you want to learn hadith from this kitab here, then will that be right? That hadith is right, it's true. But this kitab is aimed to teach you the law. So in this path here, let's understand that what's the whole idea? To strive, to work. Strive means to work, to try. So trying and making an effort, that's the whole idea. To reach the goal, that's not the goal, not the objective. So many a times a person comes and complains that I'm trying, but I'm not reaching. So the easy answer is, to reach is not the goal. The goal is to try. So I explained this thing the first night, that reaching is not the goal. The idea is a constant trial. The person that tries continuously, then Allah Ta'ala blesses him. Now there's a lot of evidence and data to support this. See, the person murdered 100 people, right? Was told him that still the doors of Maghfirat and Tawbah are open to you. But you must go to the town of the pious. So then, he didn't reach there. But he tried or not? He tried. He tried and he tried and he tried, but he didn't reach there. Right. And the proof that he tried, the en route to that Qaryatul Salihin, he saw the pangs of death. But in that as well, he struggled, he dragged himself. So when he dragged himself to the town of the righteous, then Allah Ta'ala counted him amongst the pious. The angels themselves, the Malaika, came to take the soul. They had an ikhtilaf. So they had a difference. So the angels of Jahannam said, no, he must be in Jahannam because he killed 100 people. And the angel of Jannah says, no, he must be in Jannah because he's tried to come to the town of the righteous. So Allah Ta'ala sent a third angel to arbiter. And in the mediation, it was decided that measure the spot that he left to the spot that he died. From where he left his home here, and measure the spot he died to the town that he was aiming to reach. If this town, this place is shorter, then count him amongst the pious. And if the place that he started from and where he died, if that is shorter, then count him from amongst the wrong. Now this is where this law comes, applies, right? So Allah Ta'ala commanded this land to contract and this land to expand. See? So he followed the law. The law was try. Try. Whatever you are, no matter what you are, but try. Keep trying. So there is no such a thing like despondency. This path is never a path of despondency. Whatever you are, you are an idolater, you are a sharabi, wine, drugs, whatever you are. But go and try. Try. Trying, that's the main thing here. So this is one principle. Okay, see now. I've read about 25 principles here. Alright. Now then he talks about himmat, right? Himmat is another principle. So what's required here is you take the courage, what? The courage. You can't say that this is impossible, I can't leave this out. Because that in itself is not something that is forced down your throat. See, there are some things that's not within your control, right? So what's not in your control, you're not answerable for. Right? Like now someone is sleeping, right? And he's snoring. So is the snoring in his control? It's not in his control. And when it's not in his control, then he's not answerable for that. Why? Because it's not in his control. Right? So things that are not in your control, you're not at all answerable for. So when you're not answerable for that, then don't pay attention, right? A lot of things will come under this. Someone may say, you know, when I start off my namaz, all dirty thoughts coming to my mind. So ask him again, is that in your control or not in your control? Not in your control, don't worry about it. See how the thing is so easy, but it is that we are not understanding, we're not reasoning, and we are deciding on ourselves. So as though he is the judge and the jury, the patient and the doctor. So you can't work there. You have to make up your mind, are you the patient or are you the doctor? The doctor is telling you that this is not in your control, so don't pay attention to it, don't worry about it. No matter what thoughts fly and they float in your mind, coming with a lot of force, don't pay attention to it. No matter how bad the thought may be, how evil the thought may be, don't just pay attention to it. So, what's required here is himmat. And himmat got two sides. One is ikhtiyari, one is ghair ikhtiyari. Yes, what is within your volition and choice, that you must do, right? So now, say for example, someone says, no, I can't do without wine, right? I must take it. Can't do without cocaine, right? Other people talk of cocaine, they think now it's a new thing. No, I look at Indian history, it's going on 150 years. I think there, 150 years, and when they talk about it, exactly the same characteristics. So when the person gets hooked onto it, then the addiction is so bad, then first he'll sell his household goods, then he'll sell away his wife's jewelry, then he'll sell away the expensive things in the house, right? Then he will steal, right? Right? So exactly the same things that you see here existed in India at that time, cocaine, right? They call it rock cocaine, right? Whatever it was. But the characteristics is the same. You become so dependent that you will do anything just to get this thing. So nobody can say that this is something that's forced down onto me. It's your own choice. With your own choice, you took it. And your own choice, you can leave it. If something is not within your choice, then Allah Ta'ala won't hold you answerable for it. And the law also doesn't hold you answerable for it, because it was not in your choice. Why? Why? Because it was not in your choice. For example, now, you left your child in the room, right? And a snake came and stung the child to death. So will the law say that is culpable homicide? Will they say that? Yeah? The law will not say. Why? Because it's not of your choice. They won't say negligence. They won't say you killed the child. Why? It was not within your volition. Not within your volition, so the state or the law will not regard that as a crime. Right? But now, for example, you didn't feed the child, right? And because of starvation, malnutrition, his health just deteriorated and he died. Now will they sue you? Now they'll sue you. Why they'll sue you? Because this was within your choice. So the whole idea of the service is you apply your own volition to the situation and don't come up with this excuse that, I can't help it, I can't do without it. See, well, I'll give a lot of illustrations just to explain this point, right? One person came to Mulana and he says, I'm very emotional, right? I'm very emotional and I'm infatuated. I can't leave that girl. So now, what I do teach him the sabak, that this is within your volition. But now you teach the person in a different way. So martyrdom, alright, you see what you do? Until you're in the state of infatuation, you don't come to me, you don't write to me, and you don't even speak to me. Don't even come near. Yeah. In 2 days he came right. Well, all that things got done. Now, you have to bring it to his understanding that this type of a relationship is within your choice. To retain it or to abandon it is within your choice. You can't say that I'm so infatuated that I can't leave it. If you apply yourself, you'll be able to leave it out, and you'll be able to leave it out permanently. You can't say, no, it's such an infatuation that I'll never be able to leave it out. You can't say that. So you see this ikhtiyari and the ikhtiyari. Both requires himmat. You pluck the determination, pluck the courage, and what seemed to be impossible now became possible. Right? Sometimes the Shaykh himself may prescribe something, but what he prescribes is not the solution. It will support the solution. So one is solution, one is a support. Right? The solution is to leave it. You can do it. You can leave it of your own. Right? Then you can do it of your own as well. But now what the Shaykh will do, he will just prescribe something to make the, to simplify it. You know, in the kitab, they call it the Tasheel series, Tasheel. It means to simplify. Right? So now, just look at a situation, a real situation. So one person says, no, I'm infatuated with this girl, I can't. One says, haram, you can't be this girl. No, I can't leave it. So Murad did, a one tight slap. When did he finish? Chao, Mardud. Came on hard touch of him. Chao, Bhagja Yase. Get out of here. Anyway, he got afraid. He got up and he went away. Now, after about 5 or 6 months, someone saw that person. Say, you know, you recognize me. He said, no, I don't recognize you. So I'm that person, I got that one slap. He was infatuated, not gave one slap. So from that day to now, even the thought of the girl, that disappeared. Now that was not the ilaj, it was just a support. It was something to simplify this. But the ilaj was what? The ilaj was, you must leave it out yourself. That's the cure, you must leave it out. So this person had to be treated like this, you know, this psychiatrist, right? So sometimes they'll give you a depressant, right? Antidepressant. And sometimes they'll give you a shock treatment, right? So that patient needs a shock treatment to come back to his normal senses. So this person defies that one. So that's not the, is not the actual cure. Because the person can collect a shot and he can revert again. Can't he revert? He can have a relapse. So the actual cure is for you to take up the courage to abandon the thing. Because now, a shot, you can have it, but you can relapse again. So what is the actual cure? You must take that initiative to leave it out. So now, this covers up a lot of things in deen, right? Himmat. Right? They say also, Himmat e marda, madad e khuda. You take the courage and you find Allah Pak's help is with you, right? The Imam gave some examples. The example he gave is now, actually it applies to me. You know? So when I'm in Miaslam, I had no intention to do the hifz. Hey, such a thick kitab now, who's going to memorize? How am I going to memorize this? It's such a thick thing now, and how am I going to memorize it? But now, I saw now, between Asr and Maghrib is a free time, I could all madrasas, but the hifz class continues. So just for the experience, you know, let me get my time used in something. Let me go into the hifz class. Went to the hifz class, so I started with from Qaf, you know. You got Tiwal Mufassal, Osat Mufassal, and Qisar Mufassal. So Abhisab Rahmatullahi, you start with. Just start this. See. Just start this. And before I knew it, I got stuck in the class. And officially, then I started this. It took me about five months. To finish from Qaf right till the end, right? That was just part time, coming after Asr, taking some sabak, and going. It was not like a full hifz class. Then full hifz class started after the June holidays. Right? From then till about August, I finished the whole hifz. But now, from June to the next August, after the June holidays, that means July, from July to August, I finished time. So now, the first encounter was, I can't do it, right? But as you went along, then you saw, hey, it's manageable, you can make it happen. So the idea is you take the step. Don't say now, hey, it's impossible. Say impossible, it won't happen. But you take the initiative, and what seemed to be impossible now became a reality. Right. Now same with marriage also. I should think, hey man, you know, marriage, I won't be a free person. Now I'll be tied up, responsibilities, wife, children, all that. I've learned to drive, and you know, and as it is, I'm not a driver up till now. I feel all these things, how is it happen? So when you look at it from the outside, it looks difficult. But as you take a step into it, then Allah Ta'ala opens the way. It's like, you know, when you are driving on the road, right? It's a long, long stretch, right? On the highway, it's a long stretch. And when it's a long stretch, If you look straight, it will seem as though the road is closing, right? Doesn't it appear like that? If you look at a very long stretch, the end, it looks like the road is closing. But as you come there, then the road continues. So the same. So you just come into it and Allah opens the road. This is called himmat, right? Now then, after that, then what will strengthen your himmat? See, I showed you about himmat. Now what will strengthen the himmat, right? Because now, himmat is what you will do for yourself. You have made up your mind and will leave it out, will leave it out. One person, just an acquaintance, no formal taluk. So I knew him about 32 years ago, right? And he was on drugs, right? Serious drugs, right? Family problems, fight and disputes, married, and drugs, and selling this thing away, selling that away. Everybody had just lost hope in him, finished. After about 34 years, he phoned me one day, Mona, now you can shoot me, I won't take the stuff. You can kill me, do whatever. But now, this change came through what? Through himmat. He plucked that determination, then Allah Ta'ala made it a reality. That's what they say in a colloquial language, no pluck, no luck. Right? You pluck that determination, the doors of luck, lucky doors all open up for you. But you need to pluck that determination. Right? So on the way sometimes you may find some hurdles also, right? And the hurdles you'll have to go through. Right? You started the path of piety when in Jamaat, you know. So there'll be some hurdles that will come. So there was one very, very wealthy person, very extreme wealthy. You know, Durban, you got about 10, 12 people like that. So I could see now that he's got like a boss attitude. And for the deen to come right, you need to humble yourself. You will have that attitude and you want to progress in deen, can't happen. Deen requires that you must humble yourself. He's regular in namaz, you can't doubt that, right? But now he's got that bossy attitude, he's standing in that type of wealth, right? That because of that attitude that he can become vulgar, all that, right? So I said, you know what, you go in that Jamaat. Who was that little bit of poor Jamaat, Cape Town or somewhere? So here for 20 days. Came back to Mu'ar, no more. So I was preempting, like, what can happen, right? So he said, so what happened? So he's a boss, right? Living in that style, right? Everything must be proper, prim and proper, in his place, nothing out of place. So now he went in and he got up at about, they did talim and all that. Now 11 o'clock is nice and bright and people left their clothing to dry. Maybe one side of the masjid or something, they put a string, keep turning in Jamaat. And they got all the clothing to dry and by about 11 o'clock all was dried. So I told those people, why that, you know what, that clothing is dry, pull it off, take it out. Is it on your way? If not on your way, just keep quiet. Okay, that was enough for him. Because all his life, he was a boss. Today he's being bossed. See? So can he take it? So that's what they're saying here. That there'll be two types of sicknesses. See, you come to the Khanqa for Zahiri and Batini Islam. Islam all round. To get the fronting right and the inner right. Not only the inner, but the fronting also must get right. Clothing is right. Your appearance is right. Right. Your beard is right. Your kurta is right. That's the fronting. But the inner self also needs to be right. Right? And what he's saying here is to get the inner self right is more difficult. It's an arduous task to get the inner self right in comparison to the outer. Now, for this example I gave you, is that apparent? Now, he's, imagine he's in a business, and literally he's got about 500 people working under him, literally. He's so wealthy, right? When he's so wealthy, he's got 500 people working under him, right? Today, an ordinary person, that is, you know, he's like a toho boy. He's instructed, but he's not on your way, keep quiet. For him to follow that is easy. It's going to be a very difficult one. See that? And he can't tell him anything. He's in a jamaat, and this person is 10 times stronger than him. Can he do anything about it? Can't do anything about it. But now, to swallow that pride, you see that pride, that attitude, that has to be swallowed. Has to be swallowed. Now that's a difficult one. And this is the actual thing to go and sort out. So now what builds up this determination? You talk of himmat, determination, courage. So what builds it up? So that was what you must know. What builds up the determination? Right? The thing that builds up the determination is some type of a penalty. What? Some type of a penalty, right? So when you attach a penalty to yourself, you're scared, you know. You're very scared, right? So the penalty must be appropriate to the situation, right? It must be a deterrent. So my mother marhum, rahmatullah alayh, the old people, they had a lot of ideas. Because they learned from their elders. And now today's people have to learn from the school. Became psychologists and all that. So they got only book knowledge. They haven't got that experience, right? Now look at two cases, right? I'll show you one from a psychologist and one is from the home, right? My mother would say, right, the child is coming up of age and he will do some mischief, some naughty law, right? So at that age, 3, 4, 5 years, he can't be beaten. Don't hit the child. But now if you discipline the child, how do you discipline the child? How do you correct the child? Yeah. Breaking something, running around, fighting. Right? So just keep him in the room. He mustn't move from that spot. So that child, his mind is saying, Ma, give him one shot and let me be free. See, give me one shot and let me be free. Now this imprisonment is too hard for him. Because now that goes against the very essence of his enjoyment. What he wants, he wants to be free. Running, jumping, hitting, breaking, all things, right? But now it's a confinement, solitary confinement. That he can't take it. So when he can't take it, any other punishment but this one here. See that? But in 1-2 strokes you get the thing right. Now, when you don't know about these things here, you only got book knowledge, psychologist for that, then you do all things upside down. You make things complicated. People unfortunately are going running around. And I'm hearing the cases, they go there, one appointment, second appointment, 50 appointments, and they're still stuck. And I can understand that the psychologist, he has to run his home also. If he sorts you out in one visit, how can he run his business? See, the doctor also in one stroke, he sorts you out. How is it on the business? Yesterday, I come after 2 weeks, give another four dose, slowly. So his business has to run. He has to plan it out that his business runs. So now, there's another case. Right? All these things, I've heard personally, people come and tell me, right? Now, there is a dawah, right? It's an invite. So many people, unfortunately, they don't have that parda. Men, women, all are sitting together. So there's about 250 guests, and there's an advocate girl with her child, lady with a child. Child is about 3 years of age. They're sitting in the dawat, and the child is making some mischief, right? Dropping something, some water on someone, putting someone's beard, running around, dropping, shouting. So now, the child is causing a nuisance to that entire 250 people. Running, shouting, dropping something. Right? So all the mother does, she's an advocate now. She holds the child, "My darling, I love you." Don't do that again, huh? They leave him, again the same thing. Right? Now, she doesn't know the art of disciplining and correcting. She only got that psychologist in her mind, right? So she's applying that type of law. But she feels it will be a little bit hard on the child, then it will take him mentally it will take him backwards. Intellectually, it will take him backwards. That would be hard on the child. But she didn't consider the fact that because of her not being hard with this child, 250 people that are at the Dawat, all are getting inconvenienced. Right? All of them are getting inconvenienced because she doesn't know how to discipline the child. So she's got that book knowledge, but real knowledge how to apply herself to the situation, she doesn't have it. So she's preferring the 250 people to be troubled against the child being troubled. Yeah, what was required to spank the child? What is hold him tightly, show a strict face, and just keep him there. So the child would have been under control, but the 250 people that are there will have peace and they'll have some happiness, right? Now, the same will apply to a majlis situation, right? So the Imam Sahib will see that the child is a nuisance, right? So he says, "Bhai, you can't control the child, leave the child at home." So the person now, he uses his own reasoning. He says, "You know, you all are encouraging us to bring people to the masjid. Now I brought my child to the masjid, now he's stopping. See how he pulls it, right? It's like a situation now, you're calling people to the masjid, right? Now he's performing namaz at the time of Zawar. And the Imam Sahib stops him. I don't do it. Bhai, all the time, Tabligh Jamaat, you all are encouraging us to perform namaz. Now you come to read namaz, he's stopping us. Yeah. For namaz also, there are certain laws. The masjid also got certain laws. Nobody said, don't read namaz. But for everything, these protocols, these procedures, follow the procedures, and you'll be right. The procedure is, there are prohibited times. Understand. The procedure of the masjid is an ambience. So maintain and respect the ambience. If your child is of that age, he doesn't know how to discipline and conduct himself, nor have you disciplined him, then don't let him be a nuisance for the 300 people that came to the masjid. But for the comfort of your child, all these people are disturbed, right? Are you seeing one place I saw that the child, about 4 years old girl now, they brought the girl to the masjid, and now people are in namaz, and she's running in the first, before the all the musallis. Shouting, ah, ho, and all that. Right. Now she's right in the front, and nobody has got the himmat, you know, the courage to stop the child. So thinking of what the father will say. We'll fight with the father just now, avoid the fight. But you see what happens there. So the father is in the wrong, he must discipline his child. And if he can't, leave the child at home. Just for the ease and the comfort of the 300 musallis, he must do it. But now for the ease of his child, he is disturbing all, and that's being selfish, unfair. Isn't that unfair? We come here and we can concentrate. It's not an entertainment park. If you do this in an entertainment park, it's alright. But this is the house of Allah Ta'ala. It requires a certain ambience. It requires a certain discipline. It requires certain code, right? Because these type of things you will definitely apply in your personal life, in your business, in your office, or you're making a court appearance, then you will apply these things. You will not say now to the court that the child must learn also law. He must learn what is law all about. So I brought him here. I brought him here and I'm shouting him. He mustn't be here. You won't have that type of attitude at the court. In your business, and you got a room now, and the room got all notes, only notes, $100, $200 of RAM bills, right? So, you don't let your child free there. The child is playing around, taking one note and is turning it, other one is lighting a matches, you know, he's a child now. So bachai here, so rehne do. Will you have that attitude? You won't have that attitude. You'll spank the child, you'll do something, to paise, mere paise, pasine ki kamaya. So you won't have that attitude, because you know how important it is. Here you don't have the importance of the masjid, you don't have the respect of people, so you're carrying on in this manner, and then you're troubling everybody. One place I went, now a child came right to the front. So now lucky that Imam Sahib was a little bit bold, and he had a relationship with all the musallis. So he had to take the child, girl, she must have been about 4 years or 5 years of age, hold her with the hand nicely, whatever, take her out, could hand her over to the mother. In the meanwhile, not mother, father, right? In the meanwhile, the musallis now all are waiting. In the mass to start, and this one is, she's playing around, right, in the before the front serve, right? So now the namaz will carry on, she's playing and shouting and laughing. So what happened to the musallis? Some will laugh, some will joke, right? So this whole atmosphere will be destroyed. So the sensible thing was, as though you're showing some concern to this child. But I see the problem that you create. So conveniently, we don't apply our minds how we must conduct ourselves in what areas. But what I'm showing is himmat, right? You pluck the determination and things will come right. So now here, as I say, to get that determination right, we have to set some penalties, right? Some discipline, some penalties, right? But the penalty must be such, it's not so light that you can do it 50 times in the day, right? So there's a story of a prince, now he's newly married, right? And now he became intimate in the Roza time became. So he went to the Mufti Sahib. Sahib told him he must fast for 60 days consecutively. So he asked the Mufti Sahib, but isn't there a provision for feeding 60 poor people? So I said, there is a provision, but you, the law for you is that you must fast 60 days consecutively. He went away. So the student asking, but why? But there's a provision, then why aren't you allowing him to enjoy the provision? So the Mufti Sahib says, see, he's so wealthy, right? He's standing on bars of gold. One bar of gold is 2 kilos. These are thousands of bars of gold, right? He can feed 60 people in his life for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he can do this here. Now, that kafara must be like a deterrent. Now, is this a deterrent for him? Hey, it's so easy, just feed 60 people, carry on. So, but he has to fast another 60 days consecutively. Won't that act as a deterrent? See? So the penalty must be serving as a deterrent, right? So now, the next time you think of doing it, then that memory will go past your mind. You know what? I broke that fast and I had to keep 60 rozas. So never again. I'm not going to interfere with this. But you're going to make it so relaxed, you'll do it 50 times and it'll continue. So that builds up your himmat, your courage, right? Then, I say it's all laws, these are, right? And the laws are a bit intricate and they need to be explained, opened out. Then he spoke about muhabbat, right? So now, muhabbat is of due time. Then you say, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So, a Muslim's love for Allah Ta'ala is intense, right? Right? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به, right? The hadith. That I must be even dearer to you than من والده وولده والناس يجمعين. Then your iman is right. The love for Allah Ta'ala's Rasul must be greater to you than the love for yourself, for your father, for your child, right? Now people have this problem now, that I don't see myself having that level of love. See, so now Mura is showing that love is of two types. One is tab'i and one is aqli. One is natural, right? Natural. That's tab'i, right? One is aqli, one is the love that relates to your reason, right? Your reason. So one is natural and one is reason, rational, right? One is rational, the other is natural, right? Natural and rational. So when the hadith speaks about love, it talks about not natural love, it talks about rational, not natural. Understand that, right? So now, how does it apply? It applies like this. See, you have a natural love for wealth, don't you? A love for wealth, love for woman is natural, right? You can't delete that from a system of man. Can you do it? Take it out from him completely, can you? Can't take it out. It's there. And it's, you can say it to a certain extent, it's a chip that Allah Pak has planted within yourself. زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. It's as though it's a chip within you. When it's within you, you can't delete it. Right? So there are some things that are within you, and you can't remove it. Like for example, your heart is beating, right? Can you stop the thing? It's natural, it'll happen. Continue, you are breathing. Can you stop the process? You can't stop it. So same is the love, right? There are certain there are love areas that are natural. So the Shariat will not ask you to just cancel it altogether, right? Your child, right? So therefore Allah will say, أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأُولَادُكُمْ fitna. Wealth and your child is a trial, right? Because it's a trial of what? It's a trial of love, right? So what are you going to be tested out in? In love. See, there are different types of exams, right? Some exam is just to work out, to understand your ability to retain, right? Like you're taking a imtihan for a hifz class, for what? You're testing his ability to retain, right? What is his retention power? How well has he memorized the Quran Sharif? That's what you are. So that is, sometimes it's maths, right? So that's not about retaining, it's about your ability to reason correctly, right? How well you can reason, right? So one is to retain, one is to analyze and reason. So the mind has got, the brain has got different faculties, right? So then there's another faculty within your mind. It's about love, right? And you are being tested in love as well. Call it love, call it emotions, right? Call it love, call it passion, impassionate, and call it emotions, right? So with children, your own child, you impassionate, right? Your wealth, you impassionate, right? Like, you know, just now you saw that American fire, right? Heard about it, right? So one person auditioned. He'll come and give you the news, right? So his house was, as they say, about $40 million, right? So that's more than half a billion rands, right? That was his house. Right? And now, very, very wealthy, and just burnt, like, you can't even see any trace, you know. Can't see. وَدَمَّرْنَاهُمْ تَدْمِيرًا. We see Allah Maghdis flatten them. So that was an example of Allah Maghdis flattening them. So are they showing the person near the ruins of his house, right? And he's crying for no more. So what was that? That was the attachment to his wealth and his property. You see that? So the attachment to wealth and property is natural. Understand? Attachment to wealth, to your children, is natural. Something happened to your child, are you at ease? You got up at 1 o'clock in the morning, child says, I can't breathe. Will you be at ease? So what's turning you now? You're emotionally attached to the child. When you're emotionally attached to the child with the love, so you're not at ease, right? So if someone says, you know, but I see Deen being all trampled, but I don't have that type of figure. Right? So you have to make him understand, right? How are you going to make him understand? So you make him understand like this. That one is an emotional attachment and one is a rational attachment, right? So what is required is not the emotional, it is the rational. Your mind is telling you, right, your mind and your beliefs are telling you that this is definitely more important, right? This is more important. And now, how you'll work out that your love for this is greater than the love for your child, how you make out? Make out like this, right, a simple example that they show in the kitabs, is now, if that child, for example, for some reason, whatever it was, na'uzubillah, he takes the Quran Sharif and puts it into the toilet. What will happen? If you're not scared about the law, you kill the child, right? You're scared about the law, what will happen? Otherwise, you would have killed the child. So now, your attachment to the deen, is it greater? Or the attachment to the child is greater? Your attachment to the deen is greater. But to get that understanding, you had to come through a trial. Yeah? The mind had to come to a trial, right? A confrontation. Confrontation, you are confronted with two things, or the child and deen. So when there's a confrontation, now you understood that your allegiance to the deen was greater than the allegiance to your child. See? Now, these are the topics that preached about. He just said, Bura. So I think the better way to two things is to talk. And the important things, but aren't they important? You have to open the thing out to grasp the concept. See, these are all concepts, right? Concept, you can get it straight away. Like Usul al-Shahi, now you get 20 people. All right.